Oh, pretty good.
Started. Well, thank you all for joining us today for the fifth meeting of the Demand Management Working Group. My name is Stephanie Hoare. I'm with the Consensus Building Institute, serving as the facilitator today. And before we kind of go over the agenda, just for folks listening in on the meeting, if we can just do a round of introduction in the room. And so we'll just start off with Justin.
Justin Jensen, Deputy Director of Water Resources for the county.
Brendan Flynn, grower in the county.
Steve Grimald, grower.
Ian Turnbull, preparer.
Bill Moore, grower.
Hal Crane, same.
And Jim, if you want third base up if you
Jim, did. I'm an executive director.
Jim, if you want to come up to the table, certainly feel free.
I please.
Okay, so with that, let's just keep on going forward. We're using this slide as just general tracking of where we are in this whole process. And so you can see primarily like today, we're going to continue thinking through some examples of demand management, as well as delving into the St. Yield or Polygon. So building off of last meeting's discussions. The agenda for today will start after the agenda review. We'll just do the standard updates. We have some specific updates related to last meeting. We talked about possibly using the Sigma Grant Round 2 funding. There's a Task 2.5 for possibly using that to kind of document, develop some sort of technical memo related to Corning subbasins. Demand management. And so Justin can go into a lot better detail than I can on that, but that will be part of the update. And then we'll take up a specific example of demand management. And before I put in you all a link to Merced, actually meant Madera, so apologies for any confusion there, but we'll bring up Madera's demand management, their allocation framework, and to kind of delve into better understand how that was set up. And then, as we had talked about at last meeting, of the calculation for the safe yield, we have now the safe yield estimates for the revised polygon, so we have plenty of time to really delve into better understanding that. It would be great to pick some. Just a subset of those polygons to really delve into better understanding the specifics of what's going on in that polygon, what does the safe yield estimate tell us. And then what that was, like, let's kind of combine the twos, like, based off of for a particular polygon, let's think through, like, what's the safe yield, what's going on with the groundwater conditions, what are the water uses, et cetera. And then do a hypothetical of using a demand management strategy utilizing the Madera's allocation framework. So no decision here, and very much acknowledging the limitations of that no one uses just one demand management strategy. But for the purposes of exploring this hypothetical, we're going to just kind of just hone in on that and have a discussion on that today. And then we'll wrap up and end off the new year, end off into the new year. Participation procedures, and just know that please speak towards the mic. So there's no one listening in currently, but for the sake of us getting a clear recording, we just try to remember to speak towards the mic. All right, going into working group updates. A reminder on what we talked about last time. Again, this group had gave the recommendation back to the ad hoc and to the groundwater commission to go with the RMS wells originally, and then the recommendation was to include the non RMS wells, the ones who had at least were mostly 10 years of data, yeah, with one kind of outlier, and then using the season approach was a good starting point. I'll add that this group also suggested doing like at the like the 5-year update, doing reevaluating whether or not these polygons still make sense for demand management. So that was another thing that came out of this group's conversation.
Sorry, one more just clarification on
that.
And also we agreed to look at the wells because there might be a better well choice with longer data by that time that it looks better on a paper as a representative moderate state.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Then the other one that came out of this group was the green light to go forward with the safe yield calculation that we had talked about. I have that slide again, so we can pull that up. That this group said good enough as a starting point for the conversation. So we have those safe yield calculations today. This group will give some guidance on some, just desktop research that we could do on other demand management. So we have like a little bit of updates there. And then the coordination around the Corning's demand management program development, which is where I will just turn it over to Justin to go into that update.
Yeah, so at the last CSAB meeting, the CSAB recommended that A, we look into the use of some of the 2.5 money for the creation of a technical memorandum for a baseline document. It can be used in the Corning subbasin, but the benefit of that is that it could also be used as a baseline document here. They also recommended, based on LSCE's input, that the two groups, which is David's engineering and
ERA,
sort of meet with the two separate groups and sort of talk about what that document could look like and then put together how much it would cost to create a document like that so that the CSAP can get an idea of how to proceed based on what that scope and money would look like. So those are our next steps. We'll be working on getting together meetings with those two groups and the two separate bodies in order to review that and take a look. They'll ask questions. You'll be able to ask questions, and then they can sort of put that scope together, and then we'll bring it back again with what that could look like and the costs associated with it.
How does that timeline work with this group's discussions?
Yeah. So one of the things that's at issue here, and I know you are aware of this, is that there's a full year's difference between Corning and us, right, of when we said that we were going to put demand management in place. And so the folks that are associated solely with Corning are like, well, we're not in so much of a hurry. So they want to be careful and expend the money well and take the time to review this, which is understandable. But the realistic output of this is like in a few months type of thing. So it likely will still be seen by this group prior to making any finalized decisions, if that makes sense. That's at least my perspective of where it's going right now. Obviously, none of this stuff has been approved by final board level yet. So that's still coming.
The deadlines are different on the Corning subbasin?
Only for demand management.
A year later?
A year later is 2027.
For the Glenn County set.
No,
for the entirety of the Corning subbasin.
Yeah.
They agreed to that in that group meeting.
January 27?
Yep.
Why? What drove that?
I think somewhat the folks from Glenn County wanted to push it farther out. The folks from Tehama County, the powers that be, wanted to be closer, and they met in the middle. We were always in Tehama County, Philly basins. The governance was talking about 2026 and wanted it to be earlier. But
the CWR allows it.
We actually don't know yet because we don't have our plans back for review and we don't expect to get that. By the way, I had a discussion with DWR. They called me on the phone to tell me that we are not going to see our reviews at the end of the year. They have their final review meeting with the chair, I guess it is, of GSP review in mid-January.
There you are.
But that likely means that we are not going to get feedback from them until very late January or very early February. So that's my latest update. And so then to answer your question, Brendan will know then whether or not they accept it as a thing.
Did they give you any feedback at all?
Nothing that I would call literal and direct. So I have my own interpretations of the things that he said, but you know, that could be just me. So you know, it was an upbeat and positive conversation. Mm-hmm. And so generally speaking, they are very much downers when we have bad news. So, you know, I interpret that as a good thing, but you know, who knows?
Yeah.
So it could be just a place.
And is Todd aware of the latest with the Corning sub-basin, just like this topic that we just went over?
Yeah. So Corning, the CSAP recommended moving forward with ERA and Davidson Engineering, having a couple meetings with the two governing bodies on either side and spending some time figuring out what a scope would look like, or what they want out of a technical memorandum for demand management, and bring it back with a scope and a price to CSAB to be distributed to the boards for approval, if that is so the direction.
And when would that be?
I would think that during the month of January, we're going to try and set up those meetings. So probably February, March to go to CSAB.
Any other clarifying questions on the requirements of Jason? All right. We'll just keep going forward. So the next piece is, we're going to go delve into an example of demand management. So again, this was now Madeira sub-basin, the way that they have an allocation framework where it's a safe yield plus transitional water that decreases over time until it reaches zero. So we're bringing up the Madeira's website, and as I adjust this so folks can actually read this, I will turn it over to Justin Lipow, what you want to point out here.
Yeah, so I know we had a little bit of discussion starting about this, about how these folks using evapotranspiration set allocations based on ETA inches, as you can see right here. But they have two baseline water amounts. So they came up with a sustainable yield. So, and by the way, you know, we're talking about this number of safe yield that is a calculated value. Right. And sustainable yield could mean something different. Right? And that's something that we're going to have to talk about when we move forward, is if we so choose to set a sort of baseline allocation of an amount that could be pumped, then there may be a difference between sustainable yield and safe yield. Right. And that is based on the data that we all receive and talk about, and the recommendations going forward. You know, risks of more pumping or less pumping in the future, et cetera. So there's so many inputs to that, they're possible. And then the secondary one is transitional water. So based on their sustainable yield numbers and their current estimates of pumping, they're over pumping by a certain amount, right? And they broke that down into this per acre number here in total. So every so often, there is a drop in that transitional water until they get to the sustainability marker. So they built in this sort of taper down effect to get to that sustainable pumping rate that they believe is the correct one. One thing that is very interesting about the way that this works is that they do not give the transitional water to anybody who's new. So if you want to come in and develop in the area within this GSA, then you would be required to only pump the sustainable yield amount.
When you say new as far as land ownership, or new as far as a new well?
Irrigation.
Irrigated
new acres. As far as irrigated acres.
Yeah.
They're doing it via irrigated acres.
What about changing crops?
No, I think if you're already irrigating,
if you're changing crops from dryland to irrigated, then yes, you would not qualify. But if you were irrigated to irrigated, it would be allowed.
If you're row cropping, exactly. Single crop,
then you
so go and you went to a permanent crop, you would still.
It from everything that I
get the transitional.
Yeah, everything that I read in there just says irrigated crop. It does not differentiate between the type that I can find anywhere in this document.
So irrigated versus non-irrigated.
Yep. And if there's a date, I think it's 2021.
It has a date.
Yeah. If it's prior to 2021, you're in. If it's after 2021, you're out.
Define transitional water as the additional water that's available to use as they're transitioning to the management water. Or the new pumping allocation.
That's right.
Whatever.
So they're transitioning to only the sustainable
user.
Okay. Yeah.
But in this example, it shows the cutoff at 2025. But somewhere in the text, didn't I read that it goes over a 10-year period to zero value?
10-year period
on transitional water.
That's right.
Sunsets to zero.
I mean, you would get to just in this blue example, you would get to just 12.7 mm-hmm. after 10-year period.
That's right.
Unless something changes with respect to how we're calculating sustainable yield.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of the positive thing about a methodology like this is it buys you a little bit more time to work on, hey, you know what? Maybe we can get some more water in the ground in this area and a sustainable yield should be higher.
How often would they revisit sustainable yield?
I didn't read that in this document, that there was a time frame for revisiting sustainable yield. That doesn't mean there isn't one because that isn't the resolution.
The determination of sustainable yield is looking backwards.
Correct.
And taking that sort of average of overdraft.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, if there is overdraft. And would it seem right to use that as of that moment in time that you established the plan to use that going forward, maybe rolling 3-year average?
It is my expectation that over time sustainable yield will be modified by projects. I mean, I hope that's the case, that we continue to work it towards getting more water in the ground,
project
and having more ability to pump in areas.
Project being either recharge or
in lieu. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think it should be a 3-year. If that's what you're using, if you're looking, it could be if you're rollable 3-year.
Yeah. The one thing that I would just say, and I mean, you guys would know this better for me, you know, with the permanent crop business, is that you want to kind of make it in a timeline when you go through cycles, right? You know, you have fairly long investment periods, so you want to be careful that when you set your timelines up, you know, you're not just immediately putting someone out. You know, I mean, so that's something that you can keep into your mind when you set these timeframes.
Sure, how you're thinking about it, I think. I mean, we're pulling something and planting something every year.
Exactly.
Most larger operations are, right? So there's not really where you pick.
It's not perfect that way.
No.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Understood.
You might be good for one person, but.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's two sort of plays there, right? You know, I'm sure down where you guys are, there's a lot of people, it's just one order. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different animal for them.
Yeah.
Than it is for the folks that are rotating on a regular basis to orchard to orchard.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
How comfortable are we with our calculations right now? I think there was some question as to, you know, the accuracy of our data and the accuracy of the model. Didn't Ian have, I missed a meeting in there, and I think Ian had some questions that I was never able to follow up with him on that related particularly to some of the polygons in Capay where, you know, we're looking at. Did you ever get your questions answered sufficiently, Ian, in your opinion?
Not fully.
Okay. Yeah. What exactly
was did you see? Just sorry to interrupt. Did you see the new piece of data that Eddie sent you yet?
Yeah,
it feels recent.
I just
glanced at the data, though.
Yeah, I just glanced at it. I didn't look at it in any detail. Basically, you know, looking at a few of the polygons, estimated pumped water didn't make any sense. And then I went back after our meetings, and now the numbers are different.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's been doing.
Updating from new data or something.
Could be. Nature. I just, you know, if you look at the kind of year it was as far as the water year, and, you know, we had, like, in one of the polygons, almost 10,000 acre feet pumped on a dry year. And then the next dry year, it dropped to like 3,000, or give or take.
Yeah.
And like,
is it one that have surface water in, or it's all groundwater?
No, this is all the whole area, it's all groundwater.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, I'd like to see it boil back to a per acre use. You know, what's the estimate of it? Because, you know, regardless of a wet year or a dry year, the pumping amount doesn't vary a lot. I mean, there's only so much you start with every spring, whether it's a dry year or a wet year. You know, maybe 3 inches of water in your profile, maybe four. And in the bigger picture, when your EDT is in the 40-inch range, that's not a big number to start or not start with. So I don't know that it would influence the pumping to that degree. And so I'd like to see it broken down to a per acre.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be really easy. I couldn't figure out how to do it within the model,
yeah,
if you will.
So the two pieces of data do, of course, exist. Total irrigated acres and total pumpage. So, you know, or total sustainable yield or whatever it is, we could just calculate that.
Well, the estimate of pumping.
Yeah, yeah. So those are doable. You know, obviously, one of the things that we still need to talk about, and I sort of pre-primed you guys on this for something that's coming really soon, is, you know, do we want to do this work and talk about per acre for existing acres that are already irrigated? Or do we want to say that somehow in this demand management program, or we can talk about a polygon by polygon, it doesn't matter. Or do we want to say that, hey, we're going to limit expansion here in this place and then it'll stay per irrigated acre? Or do we want to allow expansion and it'll be per every potential planted acre, right? And then that's a different bit of math. Because then we're going to have to start talking about where could expansion go and how many acres are potential within that that would have to be a per acre allocation.
We need to see some numbers first.
Mm-hmm. We got some. So, and I got some yesterday, and I got to review them. So we'll be talking about that today. And they're now in your data viewer link.
Under what?
Your same link. And
in the data viewer, but what's it
say for? There is now a checkbox that you can bring up for Safe Yield.
Yeah, we'll
show you right now. Yeah.
Didn't see it. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's brand new. Just got it. We just got it.
Right.
So
follow up on Steve's question about, I think it's a question about quality of data.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, this is the way I perceive it, and you can correct me where how others perceive it, but we're working with known data, which there's some general agreement that it's imperfect data, and some of us will call it bad data. And we're building a plan off of that data. And it's been stated, at least by me, that writing policy from bad data is going to get you what could be bad policy. Yet, that's the framework with which we're working in, because that's the only data we have. Right? So I don't think we're going to be allowed, or allowed is not the right word, but we don't have the capability of questioning the data that we have, whether it's good, bad, or different.
He has.
I know, but I'm saying that we can continue to say we disagree with the baseline assumptions, but the DWRs continue to say those are the only data, that's the only data we have, and that's the data you must use in order to develop your plan, which started with the basic plan and how it's this demand management plan as a component. So that's just what I'm working from as assumptions. Like I could argue to DWR till I'm blue in the face that the dry wells are unsubstantiated, that not knowing the qualifications or the how what a monitoring wells and ag well, not knowing whether it's a good, bad, or 60-year-old or 20-year-old, or where you're pumping from. If it's an ag well, you're saying it's an ag well. You really know all the data about it, but we're using the data from that. We're using the groundwater level from that to develop the assumptions about sustainable yield, because that's the only one that's in Polygon. It's the only one we have. I could say that all day, but they're going to say, well, you still have to develop your plan from these things we told you that you have data from, right?
That's why I think, don't you have to, that's why it's a good way to dovetail into the concept on why the plan has to be somewhat general.
Yes.
Not specific yet. I'm not saying we don't get there. Somewhat general and not a ton of, it's an overview.
Adaptable
and an overview, because otherwise you're going to danger a lot of darn people,
right,
based on the bad data, the bad policy. You brought it up exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I think we want to, I want to incorporate into the demand management plan either a statement or an understanding that we need to improve our data in order to make a better plan.
I think that you should build a statement that say review periods, as we get better data, you get together.
That's what that is. So this is what Tal just said, is like, okay, you told us there's a date that we need a plan. We'll go with, we understand that the only data you're going to allow us to use is what we think is imperfect or bad data. We'll work with that data. But we are going to also work going forward diligently improving the data. And we will reserve the right, we ask to reserve the right, because they're going to tell us what we can and can't do, reserve the right to adapt the plan as we improve the data.
And that, could I add to that, you may not agree with me, but I would say that then it has to be less restrictive initially.
Sure.
To avoid, because you're using imperfect and bad data, to not
Probably by design, or as we, if
by design.
If we recognize that we have imperfect data, then we should have a somewhat broad.
Take advantage of the time frame that DWR has given us of the implementation. That part of the reason why that window is there, it's not to get your can down the road, it's because you can't come up with everything tomorrow, right?
Right.
On where it ultimately needs to be.
Right.
And so the reason that was done is to not arbitrarily kill off all the businesses and then say, oh, okay, hey, come on, man, mistake, now you can come back.
Well, I think we can probably work toward identifying what data is good, where we know we've got solid wells that are accurate and represent the polygon.
Yeah, I think that's.
And then also identify those that are the most efficient, address those.
Yeah, that's a good
plan
idea.
To address those, knowing, okay, we got good data in some of these polygons. You've got a completion well in your front yard that's given us decent data, and recognize the shortcomings, but also recognize where we have good data.
I think we need to, you know, like in this particular case I was talking about, it's suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how that was developed.
Right.
Talking to Eddie a little bit, I believe he used the model to develop those numbers. Well, that tells me that we need to know a little bit more detail. And not just accept, oh, it's on the computer screen. So
yeah, right. It's a case of what you're saying, where you think that the model isn't
that's right.
showing some backing up the data that you're comfortable with.
And,
so let's dive into the model.
And the other part to this is, we need, if you're gonna do regulation allocations, whatever, it needs to be tied to something you can measure, like water
accurately.
Well, yeah.
With confidence.
But that goes without saying, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
something that's real and not, oh, well, the model says it's, you know, this is our safe yield or sustainable yield.
Right.
And
right.
just going off, you know, without any feedback to what's really happening.
But a component of that is dry wells, right? Is Amber that drives the plan, as I understand it. And we already know. There's no, it seems like you ought to verify a dry well versus a phone call, right? You ought, if you had good science or good data, you go out and say, okay, I got a phone call that says your well went dry. Can you show me your well and let me understand the characteristics of it? And you say, your well's 80 years old and it's 40 feet deep.
And it's plugged.
And it's plugged. And that's not, it's a component of the of that of why your well went dry is a drought condition, and it could be a component of it that ag pumping is a component of that, but mostly your well went dry because it's 80 years old and it's 40 feet deep and it's plugged.
Yeah, right. And then those things are about to happen in this next working group we start doing too. Those conditions on dry wells, and I fully expect that the DSA is going to be the receiver of those records that A, or those complaints that hey, my well is dry, and is going to be the one who goes out every time and confirms whether it is or it's not.
We discussed this at the last season meeting.
At my well.
The outcome of that discussion was that we were going to work at verifying new claims, but not any of the old claims, even though the old claims are what we're getting beat over the head with. And they may be either resolved because of a new well being drilled, or resolved because the water levels rebounded after the drought. There's a number of things that could be happening there, and we haven't verified any of those. And the thought was, well, that's history. Let's not do that. But I would contend that historical complaint is what's driving a lot of what we're doing right now. So we should know.
I will tell you that, you know, in my maybe not so open conversations with DWR, they are much more, I mean, they're concerned about the dry well issue because they get a lot of public pressure about it. Right? They are. And that is understandable. Mm-hmm. I get that. Entirely, but they're more concerned about falling groundwater levels, right? Because that is an indicator that some of those concerns are valid, right? When you're dropping those water levels, wells probably are going dry, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that moving forward, if we work on that and resolving that issue, and then we say, hey, we made these policies that say we are going to investigate dry wells. We're going to do something about it when they go dry. We have a response program for that. I think that will satiate what BWR is asking for. That's my perception.
Okay.
So, and that's why that sort of that bell is rung. Look, we already did these things. We already put that stuff in place. That ain't going away if we go try to figure out what those old wells were, and it might be really hard to do. Because, like you said, the water levels are 30 feet higher in some places than they were then. I mean, there's no way to know where, you know what I mean, what happened.
The point I'm trying to make is that some of these things have to happen in parallel, right? We're not going to be allowed to say, we won't do anything until you improve your data. We have to come up with a demand management plan, or else the state will do it for us.
Yes.
Right? And we don't want that. But I would like to use the recognition that there's either gaps in the data or bad data or imperfect data as a reason for building a demand management plan that is sufficiently broad so that we don't hem ourselves in while we're getting better data.
I see a lot of yes nods here.
That's
I hope that is the reality. I was thinking that's what you should be. Yeah.
Well, building some amount. Yes, we would say we would hope that that's what it should be. But when you start with something that says sustainable yield and transitional water, this is the standard that we're going to work towards. I know it's not. It's just an example. But if we all really disagree with the sustainable yield that's calculated as it stands today, and then the transitional water is going to zero to meet the sustainable yield, and you're not allowed to improve or change the sustainable yield number on a 3-year rolling basis, like I suggested, which may or may not be the right thing, then that's not sufficiently broad. That leaves no room for interpreting the data as potentially baseline data as potentially bad. We created bad policy to work towards a bad number.
Let's look at that. And I think that we're all talking about the same thing, is that this group is going to have to interpret the information that we have and make recommendations about what that number actually should be.
Okay.
Right. Not we're I don't necessarily I'm not I don't think anyone is saying the outcome of this that is on this thing is the number that you are forced to use.
Okay.
Right? I hope that's not right. The case.
Well,
I don't think that's the case.
I think what Brendan's saying is, you know, we need to not just recognize that, but memorialize it in what our recommendation is in the plan. Say, okay, we know this is not perfect, but it's the best we've got today. With the recognition that we've identified some deficiencies and even down to the polygon level, perhaps. And then say, okay, well, we're going to continue to move forward, but this all has to be revised at some point.
Yep. And set those times and dates in your program. So if I'm not here, if you're not here, whatever it is, it happens automatically as a function of the plan.
Okay.
So I'm going to step in here because you're growing in exactly in the direction and the conversations that we want to have next. I just wanted to just double check if folks had any verifying questions of understanding how Madera did their allocation framework. But if folks don't have any additional clarifying questions, then we're going to jump into actually looking at those polygons, which is this one. No, that's, there we go. All right, so Justin and folks, just tell me where to navigate.
Yeah, so go into content and scroll down to the same field calculation, which is down below all rates right there. Go ahead and let's start with the average one first, because I think it's sort of, which is the last one above decent right there. That sort of gives you a sense of what we're talking about as an average. So if you click on any one polygon, go to, let's say, RB10.
Yeah.
The rates
up. 13, 12,
straight up. Right.
There
you go. Just click on that. So that gives you, and by the way, this is the calculated volume, the calculated volume that we talked about on that singular calculation from the last meeting. So that's that number that you're seeing right there, average safe yield from 14 to 23. 19,900.
That's the
current irrigated crop levels, 5,300. So you're around 3. Was that 70,009? So you're around three. In that neighborhood, a little over three. There. But that's only one of them.
Right. You got to put them all together. Can I back up for a second? Because it's going to, when we're looking at this holistically, I've completely lost my mind on the numbers of total acres in the Red Bluff subbasin and Coyne subbasin and the irrigated acres. Because when we talk about deficits on acre feet, we need to put it in perspective, because we're talking about overall, if there's going to be some kind of an allocation, what are we thinking, you know, if current numbers, that's that passed the smell test.
Yeah.
If it comes back,
I will not hold that info.
An acre foot and a half, there's something wrong, right?
Yeah. I don't hold that info in my head right now, but I can email it to you. I just can't recall it off the top of my head exactly. I don't want to give you a.
Okay.
You're talking about that. Yes. That whole circle. What's the safe yield divided by irrigated acres?
Just for me, at a 30,000 foot level, to see if it passes the smell test. Because then that's got to line up with what our perception is on the Red Bluff Subbasin, quote unquote, average overdraft, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how it all plays
that,
in.
Is that a tabular note to send that to the group?
Can you get the.
In Corning sub-basin as well, obviously. We're talking Red Bluffs, that's what we should.
I'll give up two basins.
Yes.
Basins.
We'll need a problem.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brendan.
Yeah. Is that data that you just clicked into that polygon available in a spreadsheet or in tabular data?
This is the thing that Eddie had sent to Ian.
Yeah. There is some raw data information.
There'll be some raw data somewhere.
There is some raw data information, and that actually is what Eddie sent to Ian. It's a huge tabular form. If you all want to see that, I'll send it to you. It's a big data dump, but that's...
Can we just put it in the drive?
Yeah.
Just put that raw data in the drive?
There's what that looks like.
Then you can slice and dice it with a table or something.
Yep.
You want.
Yep.
Kind of an aside, has everybody been able to get the drive?
Yes.
I thought a request coming from you, and you should be able to.
So you approved the request.
Yeah.
Can you turn off the blue so we can see the balance? I'm sorry, if you're on the data, we can do that later. I was just trying to see where these, so that you can see where a polygon is when you're trying to tooth it to see landmarks.
Yep. Okay.
We can, you have to just,
if you go up to base map up there at the top, you can change that to, let's say, imagery. And then you can really see buildings, rivers, et cetera. And now you can zoom in on that RB10 there.
I wasn't thinking. You just go to another level, then you turn off the save field, then you turn it back on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that river somewhere.
That's what I'm trying to just for a
reference. Yeah, it's like
it's on the river.
It's on the river between if you look.
Distribution center on the left.
There's the DC, and there's is that your place right there, Hal, across the river?
Where are we at? Turn that off.
I don't
turn drawing. Oh, is that line goes through the DC?
DC's the DC on the left, so that's
that's our place over on the right,
and that's you on the right, right? So that's you can tell that's that middle. So it's on the west side of the river from that sort of Gerber area up to just south of
it. It goes clear up to Lindauer on the top. Mm-hmm. On the bottom it goes.
Yeah.
Can you click on it again, the polygon, to put it back on there now that we.
So you want
to
see Safe Yield again?
Yeah, Safe Yield. So that goes all the way. How far? Well, that's a diverse area.
That's the Gerber water treatment on the very bottom there.
So is it goes down past Elder Creek?
Not quite the Elder Creek.
They only show 51% of that being irrigated acres, but just offhand, it looks like a lot more than that.
You know, it's interesting. When I was looking at this data, I thought the same thing about every single polygon on the percentage of irrigated acres. I'm like, this just seems weird. You know, that it's not that much.
That's almost 100%.
It's really built out.
And if you look at it at 100%, that's only 1.7 acre feet. Sustainable yield.
There's 10,000 acres in that polygon and only 5,500, 5,300 irrigated acres.
I would disagree.
I can just have looked at this stuff on Land IQ because that's where it came from, and I have not been able to find the air in 5 years. I'm not defending it. But
yeah, no, I'm just
crazy. And we're talking about roadways, freeways, and crazy. All this stuff built in that you don't even think about.
Yeah,
canal is from. How many acres is the canal?
Roads,
all of DC.
Yeah.
You know, when you it, but I looked at it the same. I had that initial impression the same. Wait, this is only 51. It looks like it's 80%, 90%.
Right.
Okay.
But there, when you zoom in and you really start to look at it, you'll see there are bare lots in there. They're in there.
That's hard to do. 50% of what you lost only 300 feet on that.
Well, yeah, no kidding. That doesn't get any better than there.
No.
This is the best one. I'm showing you this one right now because
I like that one.
Because this one looks great.
That's awful low though.
But it's
a three deal, like best polygon here.
It is
3 acre feet. You already aren't sustainable in that polygon.
That's the average from 14 to 30.
I'm going to show you guys something. So this is 2014.
Yeah, I think we can use an average safe field. So here, back 5 years back.
If we're talking about what I'm suggesting you use this as a piece of data to make a decision. That's what I'm
saying. Let me say, what have other demand management the average for look back period for an average?
I do know that the safe yield calculation has been used in other places. That model that Eddie showed you has been used to set a baseline.
But how many years looking at 7 years back?
I don't know that. Okay. Not, I don't know it everywhere.
What would be your guess on what would be we would be allowed to use as a look back?
10 years is my sense.
Okay.
And that's why we're giving
10 is 10 better than 5, right?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
A lot of it goes back to when Sigma was implemented, 2014-15 range.
Yeah.
And that's all, it was all based on the concept of what the water was at that point caused Sigma to be put in place.
Yeah.
And so if you use that as your baseline start date,
it's generally seen as acceptable.
That's where we got in trouble was we used a 20-year picture, which
they
didn't like at all.
Oh.
And
we can try it again.
And then what really did us in was the yearly report that would fit year to year, and you'd get 3 years of drought in there, and it just looks horrible numbers.
Yeah.
Well, will you click on the square there and bring up that hydrograph?
Sorry, there's a lot of squares.
That little orange square right next to you,
Ah,
right
okay,
there.
that square.
Yeah, so click on that hydrograph. This is the hydrograph for the representative monitoring well there. You can see it's got data since the late 90s, 99, so 25 years of data.
We're looking 10 years.
Yeah, so if you're
18,
looking, yeah, so let's
one,
talk
two, three,
15,
four,
what?
five dries.
Yep.
That 50% dry, 50% wet.
This hydrograph, I would call very stable for red blood cell basin, less than 10 feet, very stable for red blood cell basin. Right? And so let's also look at, I wanted to show you something else that's interesting there. Go, if you can go back to the map, where Steph's on. Let's
220 to 230 foot.
click on the groundwater pumping for RB10. So go over and click. It doesn't matter which one you pick, groundwater pumping, you can pick the 2020
This one
content on the left.
So click that one off and go up to pumping 2020. Yeah. So this tells you, click
I was active
the
in the
little
bank.
legend, but it also shows it.
This legend.
No, down right below. Oh, click, go hover over groundwater pumping. Right there. There's a little legend to the left, one more to the left. There you go. So that gives you an idea of range. But I actually think that.
How are they determining that?
That was
Not a
much, yeah.
question. They're just
Yeah.
using rock types and
ET's data.
yeah.
Or
And
ET.
the by the way, this
Rock type
data,
and ET.
this data is provided by it. I think that this one has ET in it, but this is DWR's baseline data, by the way. This is how this almost always comes from. It's
So
DWR's baseline.
that's difficult to
So it should tell
interpret.
us what and how much it is. Irrigated
Groundwater
crop.
change, groundwater storage, irrigated crop acres.
So we added 210 acre feet from 2015 to 2024 in that area. Added 210 acre feet in total storage. Just to be clear, so this one's going the correct direction.
That's calculated.
So that looks,
From the
it's
model
hard to tell
calculation.
the color gradation, but you could is
That's
that
totally
create
that
50,000?
looks no. I would say that is the 15 to 25,000.
Okay.
I don't think we have any greater than 50,
Your
so
color
it doesn't look
yeah.
right.
degree gradation of the bare metal. So call it, let's call it 20,000 acre feet of pumping.
Yep,
And
over
I
ten
just
thousand
take a
total acres.
wild guess average
Yeah,
on over 5,300 acres.
that's 4 feet an acre,
Of
and
pumping.
that math makes
What they're
pretty
calculating.
reasonable sense, right?
Yeah, so but I'm still questioning the 5,300 acre number out of 10,000. That should be pretty easy to verify. I mean, just with the people in this room, we could probably consider how many acres are under irrigation just here. How would
That's
you
true.
guess?
That's the issue on this. I would like to verify every one of the numbers, but I don't know if we're going to give the chance or the where. Well, first of all, do we have the wherewithal from anybody's time? And second of all, if you question it, are they going to tell you, well, that's just the data you have to work with?
You ought to be able to get, I think, somewhere close. Just if you just mine the data out of the Ag Commissioner's office alone by section township range, you should be able to get close.
I'm not disputing whether or not you can. I'm disputing who has the
Who's
time,
going to?
who's going to do it, and if
Well,
you came up with a different number, will they allow
rather than spending $5,000 on a meeting that Eddie's proposing with this other outfit, maybe we should spend a little more money on stuff.
I agree with you.
To
So
verify
I had a
what you're looking
conversation.
at, because it's to me it looks like a BS number, just off the top. I mean, if I can be crude, that's just what it looks like to me.
I had a conversation with the Ag Commissioner, and when I had that talk with him, he said that it would be highly unlikely that you'd be able to get really good numbers from his data. Just to be clear.
The dive would have to be go back to Land IQ and
Yeah.
have them show you. Yeah.
He said his data is probably not accurate enough to.
So that's the question. If somebody wants to spend the money, you could ask Land IQ to verify the irrigated acres he
Just
followed on.
a couple of them, but nothing else.
And
Just
I'll be honest with you. So I've hired him for some stuff. It will blow you away. It doesn't cost
That's right. They've already got it.
The spatial data for that polygon exists.
Well, frankly, if they've done it and we're paid to do it, my guess is
they will put you all out with you.
Right.
They will just do it for you.
I can't
make that case for them, but I mean, everything I've worked on, that's been the answer on it. Anything they've done, anybody had questions on, they were extremely responsive and they came back and just said, look, we'll get it for you. You're not asking them to do a new project, right? I'm assuming that this was mined from something they were paid to do for this purpose, right?
Yes.
Given that, it's worth a try.
Yeah. They make that request.
You can.
I mean, was that or open ET?
It would not surprise me at all if it was open ET. If it originated from open ET.
It's not off their satellite imagery and crop type identification?
It is, but that's essentially the same exact thing. That satellite crop identification is essentially open ET. It's the same software.
The same accuracy? That's what I'm wondering. I know the crop type identification actually, because we looked at a lot of projects on
it. Yeah, that's my understanding that it is of similar accuracy.
So is your guess, Al, knowing what you've looked at, that do you have confidence in that?
No.
51% of that is irrigated.
I agree with you guys on it. Also, my case I was saying is I've done a lot of land IQ work, and I haven't found anything that wasn't verified. That what they were right.
They're accurate.
Yeah. It blows my mind.
Well, I think land IQ is highly accurate.
Yeah. So let's go. If you look,
yeah,
you go down to the irrigated acres map down there. Land use, DWR 2021. Let's go to the crop mapping provisional. Just
so I think what I'm going to do is go back and after the fact and look at some of these others that I'm knowledgeable about and see that ratio and see if it jives. I mean, you could go to another one that you're pushing the west side a little bit of stuff undeveloped, right? This rangeland. You could go down along the Sacramento River and Butte County there, where all of it is, and do the same thing and see if that's 95%.
I just want to show you something really quick. Then I just stopped looking in this basin. Would you minimize this or close it?
Can't see.
Or within this polygon, this entire area along the river, this huge swamp, is entirely open riparian area.
Yeah,
it's included in the total acreage.
Yeah,
right. So if you're thinking of 50, you're not thinking 50% of this. You're thinking 50% of this.
Right.
So that right there is 20% in just itself.
And then you've got some dry land, a fair amount of not.
And here, so now you can see that the irrigated overlays
off that orange layer.
That's ice fire.
Yeah, go up to
groundwater pumping.
Groundwater pumping.
Instead of guessing my microphone. All
right. Sorry.
Can you take this one off?
Yeah, go ahead and take that one off. You turned on crop type.
So now you see that every single one of these that you're looking at, town or buildings or all of that stuff, is unirrigated crop. According to this map.
That green section right under you just had
this right here?
Yeah.
It looks like irrigated crop to me.
It just might be fallow, but.
Yeah, it could currently be not irrigated. That's why it's not on there. Because this is the current 2022 data.
Well,
the most current that
we have. I agree all that right variance now.
And what's the gray? It's a longer
I find. This guy right here?
All of them.
Yeah.
That's urban zone.
No, it is. We can.
Let me get out of it. It's urban.
I'm going back to
urban or commercial.
Okay.
Because that's Sierra Pacific, that's Walmart, that's Roberta.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's see what that's Los Flores. I don't know that RB4 is
urban unspecified.
Yeah. Urban.
So I looked at it because initially when I looked at it, I was like, there's no way this is right. It can't be right.
They have
but then I really citrus. Started looking at it and I'm like, well, maybe it is pretty close.
That high density olives is all under citrus.
Yeah.
I got to digest it because, like, it's my initial, not the acreage, is my bigger concern that's a less than a 3 acre foot state field.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. Yeah. If that's the case, you can't the whole damn state.
Right.
Everywhere you go in the state, there's no polygon you can, if it's fully developed.
Yes, that's about as good
if you can't there.
There's no
out of the smell test.
Yeah. And that's, I find,
the numbers they were just putting up, I don't know what the numbers are in that Madera plan. My guess is that 17.8 is going to require, I don't know how much fallowing to get there, right? Greater than 50%. I was
guessing. Well, I don't know. If that, yeah. Is that on the gross? Was that allocation?
Click on your allocations.
Yeah. I got that, but is that per gross acre of a parcel or per planted acre?
12%.
That though, I believe that these guys are for gross acre.
Yeah, so it's hard unless you see the polygon, Brendan.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
which is leading towards what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I realize
that there's no polygon that's going to be allowed to exist as it exists today.
Anywhere.
Yeah,
that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, and that's why we're here, right? Because we want to look at the data and say, okay, it's clear that we're a little off here. And we're going to have to make decisions about how to move forward with that.
One could argue that RV10 is probably could be one of the best groundwater polygons in the state.
Excellent. And it's 3 acre feet. You got to start cutting back. Can't use what you need.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, it's just.
Like, that's why we're saying bad
data. So what do we have to do to verify the irrigated acres in that polygon?
They're
up to Land IQ and say, okay, would you do
that? That is the satellite data in the right there.
Right.
That's what you are looking at right now.
Right.
So that is, Land IQ will give you more details about type of crop and things of that nature, but I doubt you're going to get better data about coverage.
It's already pretty well there.
It's there.
It's on the vision. Yeah.
So I think if you guys look at this, and you know,
so if you got the raw data behind those color schemes, you could slice and dice it yourself. And say, is there actually 5,300 acres?
Yeah, you absolutely can. Add them up.
The beige, not the one that looks like obviously walnut. That one right there. What crop is that?
Young.
That's that's the new walnut planting.
Yeah, you know where that. You know
that's across from
Wisconsin. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You know that one,
Al. It's young. That's why I didn't understand why it didn't line up with others, because they haven't identified the crop type. It's just trees.
Because it's baby trees, yeah.
Yeah, it's young.
It is kind of nice to differentiate between mature and young. That's useful information.
It's hard visually looking at it to say that 50% of that is.
Yeah. If you could tease out all of the urban and undeveloped industrial out of that, which
within that polygon, there's not that much.
There's not. It's a little bit of a third to a half of the Walmart. It's the town of Gerber and whatever that is.
And then remember, everything that you see there that just looked like the original imagery pictograph is also undeveloped. Right, that's undeveloped land without any irrigation on it at all. So every one of these little spaces,
see, there's two issues there. That
this one could be a problem.
That's an issue.
So that's just unplanted.
Right. I think it's just fallow.
It's where we've ripped it out, and the one below it. What's the one with the white polka dot
hash marks?
Known aisle. Yeah.
They're out.
So those should be irrigated.
That's the stuff right
out. Yeah, they just want when this imagery was taken.
Right. So I'm saying, so what is there in there? 1,000 acres?
No, those two blocks is 262. Yes, 380.
Plus the white.
Yeah, combined.
But this guy and this guy, when you start taking them all into account, when you look at them, there could be 1,000.
I guess you 60% potentially instead of 51%.
So it's accurate. It's idle. It's stuff that's in that phase, like you talk about for redevelopment, right? It's come out and going back in.
But it actually makes the calculation worse.
Once it's planted. Well, but you're always going to have those pieces coming out, right?
Yeah, but if you counted that as actually using water, it'll make the calculation
worse. Yeah, you've got 2.5 acre feet, or what? Not that bad, but I mean. But you're always, at any snapshot in time, you're always going to have lots on rotation coming out.
Correct. Yeah. So in a weird way, the math plays out correctly, because since there will always be some in rotation, there will always be out that water being used.
If the numbers are accurate, if it's actually that acres, right, it's probably.
What's the name of that? The cropping?
This is open. They call this I-15, which is open ET.
It's open ET, Open ET is used to say by crop type, what is your ET water use?
It can be.
Yeah.
And it's just for age, baby trees versus big trees type of age.
That's why it has the young perennial in there.
So in what maybe is for establishing sustainable ET, sustainable yield is the open ET data.
Is the open ET used? Well, in that calculation that he has, that is it used in the model as a whole. But yeah, I think if we want to do that, if you guys want like some really, really deep down stuff about that and how that model works and how that functions, you probably need Eddie for an hour, which I can schedule.
Well, again, I don't know that. I just struggle with how useful it is to spend a tremendous amount of time questioning the data. I want to. I don't believe the data. But this is the data they're going to make us use.
My personal recommendation is that you use the data to inform you on your decision making.
Right.
You know what I mean by that?
Well, and how stringent you make the demand.
Exactly. So you build leeway into your system based on the facts that you know.
That was the case I was making earlier.
Yes.
And it's broad. You have to. You have to. You're going to sink.
Yes. A lot of people. Broad. To and align with the quality of the data.
By the way, your outcome will still probably hurt you. I mean, it's just what it is. Whenever you put restrictions on something, there is somebody that's going to get hurt by it. But you can limit that by using, judgment to say, hey, we need to narrow this down in the future. So you can create scenarios by which there's at least initial flexibility.
Are there any? So you were saying that that's probably as good as the groundwater gets in that polygon. I'll be curious when I do it for my truth checking. Are there some of these that we know that may not have as much available groundwater, but they have almost no development? Then that should show that maybe they have 4 or 5 acre feet.
It's possible.
The opposite should. I'm guessing. And no, if it doesn't, I'm going to start scratching my head.
So when you have a drop in groundwater level with very little pumping, that actually ends up in a very small, safe yield. And most of those areas that you're talking about have falling groundwater levels. So you end up with a really small, safe yield because you couldn't pump anymore, right, without affecting that groundwater.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got to look at them.
So that's how that math works. You want to bring up? Yeah, oh yeah, let's bring some up. Let's get with the one out on the other side of Rancho Tehama.
Which is undeveloped.
Yeah.
They're very little.
Very little. So. RB7. Let's click on 7. That's way out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Where are we? So we all know where it
is. That is west of Rancho Tehama on the backside of Rancho Tehama, so going north and south.
But it goes all the way down to what creek?
That's Corning Subbasin. So that's
Thomas Creek.
No, Thomas Creek. Yep. And then all the way up north to the very top.
Okay.
So probably just about Cottonwood Creek, South Fork right there.
Okay.
Yeah, you
see only 597 acres irrigated there?
Only 597 total irrigated acres.
And what's the safe yield?
We got to go click that on to do it.
So 600 out of 6,000, so 1% planted. Let me guess the safe yield is still...
It's got to be small.
So.
Yeah.
Changed. The groundwater has dropped a foot.
Go ahead and click on the little arrow up there to the slide 2.
Groundwater storage.
Because of the groundwater dropping and the groundwater, see the average safe yield is tiny. Because there's currently no pumping and the groundwater level is dropping. And those are the two of the things that go into the map.
So that's 961,000.
Yeah, well, that's essentially zero
on the irrigated acres.
Yeah, only 6,000. That means you cannot.
I'm following you. I just got smart a little bit. Went on 61,000 acres. Somebody told me the safe yield's 1980.
That calculates under the current irrigated acres to 3.16.
Yeah, be aware. You guys all know that area is still affected by other areas of pumping.
For sure.
It just takes longer to get there per se, or it changes differently. Because of that.
Then what that would drive, so you just said on the current irrigated acres is 3.7 feet.
Right.
That's the irrigated acres for the future.
Yeah. That says don't plant anymore because
you were not allowed to plant in that volume.
You don't want to be planting that volume.
You collectively landowners and family.
Yeah, the 61,000 acre landowners.
61,000 acres of lands in that will not be able to plan.
anymore.
It'll be contrary to the decision if you do.
It'll be contrary.
Well, RB10, if you had an irrigated or not an unirrigated pasture on there, it's saying the same thing in RB10.
You won't be able to plant.
Yeah, even though it's unirrigated.
If you follow them there in the model.
Down there by the river, you couldn't plant.
And that's why, that's part of that reason why I keep like sort of forewarning you guys about the discussion about restricting expansion, because the numbers start to look really bad when you allow total acreage versus currently irrigated acreage. It just makes, it makes it harder to make your arguments about what you can have leeway with and what you can't. Does that make some sense? And by the way, I'm not arguing that one way is right or one way is wrong. I'm just talking about how the data looks.
Would you mind clicking on one saying the Los Molinos over there that only incorporates, I think some of those are drawn out where it's only small.
Some little guys, yeah.
They're pretty small.
There's a little teeny guy right there. Is the LM6?
Maximum 20 feet. Right. See what they say the safe field is.
You see LM6 right there?
I see LM6.
Keep going up, keep going up. You can get one more up right there.
There you go.
So zoom one out so you can see what that
is. I don't know where that's at.
I think this is about as little as polygons get right here.
Where is the
LM6? It's right on the very north of Los Molinos.
Okay, so we got there.
Let's see where we're at. It's, can you click off the
irrigated crop 900 acres? That
yeah, because it's tiny. It's a tiny space.
Okay. 900 out of 2,000.
Where's the plant?
So there.
North of there.
Yeah, it's way north. So you see there's the antelope section right there. Can you zoom in just a little bit right in the middle of it?
Is that what's the creek coming there on
that creek?
No, you're way south of this.
Yeah, you're south of Craig.
That's Los Molinos. So
this is Los, that's the bottom of the top of Los Molinos. Yeah. So this is Dairyville.
No, it's not even. It's miles south.
That's
of
the old Spantowner Ranch right there. Above.
Oh, I know. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong. I was thinking it's closer south.
Yeah, it's Dairyville, right?
It's south of Dairyville.
Yeah, just on the bottom edge of
8th Avenue.
Yeah, it's south of Lassenview School by 5 miles.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so it's minus 10.
2,000 acres of land mass. 934 acres
irrigated. Okay, so only 900 irrigated. So what's the safe yield? That's
like that guy there. No, the
safe yield should be about 12 acre feet per acre. On that one.
So,
there's nothing planted on it.
It's 500 acre feet.
Safe yield 500.
How many irrigated?
It says only
934.
Because it's Spanish, right?
That's less than one.
Yeah, it's 0.53.
Okay, so am I missing something here?
Not something. It doesn't pass the smell test. It stinks.
Yeah, that's not even close
so far. But I would agree that this one seems really weird. I haven't looked at them all. I'm just saying I agree that this one looks really weird.
The land use? Yes, please.
There's only 900 developed acres in there. Do you have
the safe field?
That's 500 acres.
So there's 2,000 acres in there, and there's only 934 irrigated.
Yeah, that looks probably.
Yeah,
that looks pretty close. Yeah, that looks that part passes the sniff test.
It's half.
It's roughly half. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But.
How where did where did where's the safe yield number again?
It was 500.
How can that be? How can that even be?
A half an acre foot an acre.
Yeah. Half an acre foot, yeah, just over 0.6 or whatever.
What do you think?
So,
what are they?
So they have, you guys have to pull out all those orchards, it looks like.
What are they now?
You can't plant anything in there.
You can't even irrigate what you got.
Not by the river.
Well, I mean, one plot. You can
fuck it
down to one.
Oh, man.
So, what do they allocate water use to pasture? Do you know?
It's the same as a tree.
It's more than
3 or 4 feet. You calculated everything at 3 to 4 feet, you're safe.
Yeah, 3.5 is what I use.
Where
you get screwed up on that is when the color irrigated pasture, irrigated acres with the power cost so high, a lot of them may fizzle and not put that much on. So if there's a ton of irrigated,
like Los Molinos Water District, some of those people are just
putting water out there because they can.
Oh, does this have any, does this have surface water in it?
Yes.
Yeah. It does, right?
Yeah, all that deer, that pastures all
that. Might affect how this works because of the pumping rates artificially lower. Let me think about that for 1 second.
Isn't all that pasture here?
Yeah, the green.
We are losing groundwater storage with a relatively low total pumping rate, comparatively low total pumping rate. So that would make sense that it would do that.
And the answer, I think, is no, because that dark brown is all orchard.
Yes.
And Los Minas Mutual is not supplying much of that orchard in there. Almost
not
none.
Much of the orchards. No.
It's all the sun. That's all well water.
But all the pasture, yes.
But all the pasture. All
yeah.
That green. All that green is irrigated land and counted as irrigated land. But is not pumping water.
That's for the purposes of the cows. It's included in the 934 acres.
Correct. Stephanie, could you click at that the X that box out so we can see how much of that's irrigated pasture? Yeah, that's just irrigated pasture. That's Los Minas Mutual.
You click on the table icon underneath the crop mapping. What does that tell you? Yeah.
You broke my computer.
Tells you how it's loaded.
The evil.
I'll be right back, guys.
I was just curious if it tells you how many acres of pasture.
You're looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Or whether we can tease that out.
It's struggling. Anyway,
that
sure.
A
the data's there somewhere. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you should be able to pull that out.
What did you get, Brenda?
Eliminate acres of pasture.
Eliminate the surface water you're getting out of the acreage.
Symbol class. So symbol class or pasture is P. There's a P up above there. Oh, but that's a line per unit, bro, or per block. It's not going to serve. It's not going to sum it up for you. Anyway, so I'm just curious.
We will pull that out, though. Pull the pasture.
We're just reinforcing bad data, bad policy.
That data is so bad, no policy.
Well, the policy in that polygon would be you need to get rid of half of the.
So let's say you can't have all
of it. It's only 6 inches of water. Is what they're
unless that's the desired policy.
That's terrible.
If we're working to a desired outcome,
that's the key. It's the desired outcome, which is water levels that you can actually measure. And so how can you develop a policy that as we go into this tests that to see what the link is? As far as what you're cutting back and what it's doing to something you can actually measure, and not, I mean, I've looked at a bunch of these and there's a lot of BS.
I think generally, without being assigning the various intent, the policy is no overdraft.
Sure.
The desired outcome.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Overtime.
The desired outcome.
Overtime.
Not the overdraft. In the end, and so. If you follow on LM6 and you say there's only 500 acre feet of sustainable yield there, then the only way to get to the desired outcome is to reduce the amount of pumping.
Well, the measure of whether the sub basin in total is an overdraft or not is the water levels.
Right.
That's so the key thing. But you tell me, and probably if I go back and look at the hydrograph, then for this one, it's going to have shown that there was falling water potentially.
There is.
Click on the
one. Well, you can tell this because
that's what we need to look at.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the other thing that is it's suspect enough that it's good to know, but it's suspect enough. We need to figure out a way that as you move into it, whatever restrictions, if that's what it takes, that you implement, you're able to tie that to water level. So we reduce the pumping by whatever,
yes.
Right? And that had this effect on water levels.
Okay.
And somehow correlate that to the kind of water you're in. All right? Because, you know, like down where I'm at, we get 40-foot swings on a normal year between spring and fall. That's
on a normal water year.
Normal year.
On 20 inch.
I'm sorry.
On 20 inches of rain, 18 inches of rain, we still get 40 foot.
We get 40 fluctuation. It's just the fluctuation.
Always has been.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. You know, might have increased slightly as far as the swing, but it recovers. So how do we tie whatever reductions in pumping to what it's doing to the water level and deal with the different water types of water years so that we don't, if we get a 2 or 3 year drought, we don't end up killing everybody's business during that period.
Because of that swing. So look at that one. That one went, let's see, 230 foot elevation. That's probably 20 foot water, groundwater level below ground surface. Oh my goodness, it's gone to 30 feet. And it has the same treatment that it doesn't have a sustainable yield. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
There's no,
right? You're along the river. The water's right below the ground. They're saying
it's 230 to 215,
which is 18 feet in real terms below ground surface to 28 feet.
But if you just look at the 2014 forward, and that's really what we're tasked with, right?
She's right.
Ignore all everything to the left of 2014 because Cigna mandates 2014 forward is our time frame that we're looking at. So the rest of the data, although noteworthy, is irrelevant in terms of.
Okay, so it's 225 to 212.
It is this way.
Well, that's the seasonal. Right. If you use the average on there to get a trend line, it's probably hasn't changed more than 5 feet.
It's 220.
But that's so when you have a polygon like this, what the reason why the math ends up looking like that is because you have a reduction in storage, so falling groundwater level, with actually small amounts of pumping, because part of the is surface water irrigated.
So it magnifies.
And so it magnifies the impact of that issue.
Yeah. So you tell me if they take away the water rights to the Los Angeles Mutual, then are they going to change the calculation, or you're still going to have a sustainable yield of nothing? A safe yield.
Right now, let me think about that.
Right.
Well, what's going to happen if they do that is that the groundwater is
they're going to take it away.
So the safe yield
doesn't work. Yes, and then, but you're still, is that going to readjust your safe yield way up or not? Or
they won't have the near view acres.
It will, they can't afford it. It will decrease your safe yield because you will have a falling groundwater storage.
On less irrigated acres.
So, by the way, this math does tie to water level because it uses the groundwater storage calculation.
You would hope it'd be part of the math that gets you here does use level in it. It'd really be nice to see what. You know what the variables are in the model. To see what is
are when we write when we complete the ground the water whatever we're doing the man management plan. Will the plan be specific enough to the level of the polygons, or is it say?
I mean, that's how it's going to be
by basin.
You guys say
it
again. Well, so we know this is a oddball, right? In the plan, can we call this one out and say this one has to be treated differently?
We need to look at them because I'm afraid
these ones are treated this way.
I'm afraid there's a lot of them like this.
Yeah, right.
Or do we have to write a plan for the basin or the sub-basin?
So you're writing a plan. For a sub-basin, but it absolutely can be managed in any area size that you want.
Down to the
there's nothing that's the authority given to you within Sigma, you can manage it by well.
Yeah.
Individual well,
okay.
If you want to do.
Okay.
I mean, it's not. There's no restriction on that.
So, again, if this is the data that we're allowed to work with, and we think we can adequately describe why 500 acre feet is the wrong number for that polygon, then we could treat it differently.
Everyone could have its own.
We could say the demand management plan, and you go, this polygon is.
Good luck on the politics of that one.
Yeah.
You have to have a reason.
Not only that, the polygon doesn't really reflect what's going on under the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a convenient way of dividing it. I can't think of a better way to do it at this stage.
Yeah.
But it is not tied to anything hydrological under the ground. So
to be clear,
river bottom happened to this bend, entirely different scenario.
That's why if we can come up with a way to ease into it,
and tie a given restriction, if that's the way, you know, the approach, or some other real-time quantity to measured water level, and that's what your target is, and not screw around with, yeah, okay, knowing what the calculated sustainable yield is. That's great, but it's pretty clear, at least in the polygons I've looked at, that even the groundwater pumping, it looks wrong. Okay, flat looks wrong. I don't see how it could be true as far as the few I've looked at.
You know, a way we could might be able to check that, we can click on every one of those in the Red Bluff subbasin, estimated pumping versus safe yield, and see what that spread is. And if that comes back at 100,000 acre feet, let's say, we know that's not the case. It's probably 15,000 acre feet is what we're told is the overdraft. So I'll be curious to see what the sum.
We can tease that if we have the raw data set.
Yeah, that's another way. You asked for the raw data set.
We can tease that.
But that's a way we could be truth checking some of this to see how it correlates on what the total overdraft based on that, what they're saying the pumping is versus what they're saying the safe yield is. What we're seeing right there, my guess is there's no way it's.
I agree. There should be a way to verify, but. I guess my contention is the people that developed the model should have tested it.
And by the way, this, I'm telling you, this is correct math. You have falling groundwater storage, comparatively insignificant pumping, because you have a small area that's actually pumped groundwater, right? And so your math says
the impact
is high.
Even though it was the drought, and they weren't releasing the water. That water level right there is whatever the Sacramento River water elevation is.
Yes,
it's what is in that well.
So
if they release less out of Shasta Dam and the river's down X amount, that's what that water level is.
Don't use that as your argument.
You don't want to say
that. What happened
with the reality.
Yeah, I know.
We don't talk.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about, because there is also the argument, that agriculture shouldn't be pumping out of the river, and that they are. And that's coming now. You know that's coming next.
Within the edge of the river.
Yeah. That's a water rights discussion.
Boy, it's going to be
the pre-19.
Well, the contention is that if your well's within a half mile or a quarter mile, that you're de facto pumping out of the river.
You're de facto pumping out of the river. And that's
what they say. That's where they're going next.
Yeah. It's coming.
That's where it's going next.
Be lined up for that one. That's going to be a terrible one to have to talk about.
Anyway, I understand your point. I'm not debating what you're arguing. That's what that shows.
The math is right. Yeah, per how the model works, the math is correct. That's how that works.
So can we develop a set of questions to challenge the assumptions? Maybe not to challenge the assumptions, but to test the assumptions to the extent that we will use those tests to inform our policy about each polygon.
Verify the data.
Can we figure out the questions that we need, that we want to verify from the data set? Like you just said, you start with a smell test, right? Is one of those questions, right? And then and the next one is drilling down on each polygon. If we develop that set of questions, and then we can say, who can we assign to validate or to answer those questions, right? So we can get somewhere, because I think, again, if I'm trending towards a goal of making the demand management plan sufficiently broad or broad enough to align with the quality of the data.
Don't hurt my feelings. So
and
100% agree.
Okay. So then if we know what those questions are, then we can say who has the resources to answer those questions. I don't. I can envision how I might answer that, but I don't have the time to deal with the data set to do it. So then the question is, does the county do it?
Yeah, we'll get you.
Budget to do it.
One of the ones that jumps right off the page to me right off the bat is we need to verify the irrigated acres in each polygon.
So verifying irrigated acres in each polygon, and then
Stephanie,
my suggestion would be okay, let's look at Land IQ as a resource for that.
Well, then that question comes up, you're talking about irrigable acres or irrigated?
The actual irrigated acres, that's groundwater irrigated, would be that.
There's 400 acres around me that's irrigable, but they don't irrigate it.
Not yet, not right now.
Well, they have, but they don't.
Right, historically, I know what you're talking about.
So, do we include those or not? That's the question.
Well, it almost guarantees that the idle or not irrigated. It's pretty accurate that way from what I've seen. It's the mapping is pretty good that way. It catches what's not currently
about actual irrigated.
And then you can do a snapshot by year.
It looks damn good to me. I feel like it's pretty good.
Is that question clear?
That can change from one year to the next. That's,
yes. But we're saying it's over time it's going to equalize to some degree. Maybe.
Well, if you're talking about like orchards that come out, you're always going to have a percentage of those out. That's different.
People are now talking about it's neutrals that haven't farmed in 3 years. They've all got their pumps there. They can storm them.
It should show up as I.
That is an entirely different part of the program.
Well,
and one that you're going to have to address.
Don't think we've got to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get there.
Well,
another bullet point under that point is to verify actual irrigated acreage with any. I don't see that exactly.
Validate actual. I was interpreting that as actual groundwater. No. That's different.
Verify irrigated acreage
per polygon.
By polygon. All polygons.
I wouldn't think we need to suspect or verify the total acreage. That should be pretty brainless.
So OpenET was 2022.
Yeah.
So you're gonna. Lined up, so you're comparing apples to apples.
2022 to 2022, if we're doing anything.
Okay,
that's a good point. We need to make sure we're looking at the same year.
Oranges to oranges.
Walnuts to
walnuts. Whatever you like.
do you have a recommendation to Land IQ?
We do, and we've used them for some of our names.
Can you ask them?
It has happened.
Can you ask them the question? What would be the cost for them to validate the OpenET data?
If that hasn't already happened, so let me check on that first before I say.
We want to validate OpenET data.
Yeah.
Which is the
crop type. I think Eddie has the language.
Yes, join us the crop type.
Correct. And acres.
I think
acre
Eddie has
the language too. And in some cases, the age of
acres. I'm just wondering why we would be in question about that. I mean, you can look around if you navigate around that. Have you found some errors?
I just don't know OpenET how where they're.
Yeah, I don't either. I've scanned all over that.
I think you're going to find this pretty damn accurate.
They may not. Necessary. Yeah, OpenET is pretty.
It's still good to answer your question.
Yeah. Other questions? But he might have the Land IQ already for like 21 or 22, and we can compare it to the ET from 21 or 22, and then that would satiate that. If we already have it, let's just do it.
So I could foresee we get a response back that, we verified that they're all good. And then Brendan and Steve will be saying, wait, that RB10 can't be right. You might put with RB10 specifically as well. We want them all verified, but I mean, it'd be nice to get an answer on the RB10.
That's weird.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're going to get an answer back that, no, they're all good, right? And you're like,
we're talking about having to break it down per polygon and report per polygon.
Yeah, because then we can. Which they've done. I'm just saying, my guesses are going to come back. So it's all good.
Yeah, they have done.
You mean OpenET will or Land IQ will?
Land IQ.
We'll say the OpenET data is good. So you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to tell them, hey, verify their data, just say, give us what your estimate is. So what's Land IQ's estimate of irrigated acres per polygon?
Isn't that Land IQ that got that with OpenET?
I think so.
It's
all the same satellite. I believe it's all the same.
Okay. Yeah.
They just have interpretation software stuff.
Right.
You know, that's their proprietary interpretation software.
I don't know.
It doesn't need to be.
I bet it'll be in a double. Really, if you think about it.
So So we have this list of questions, and certainly I can send this around to the group. And so if there you want to, I mean, and you have access to this document, so you can even jump into here and help edit it. But I can also send it around if folks want to add to it or edit. I'm doing a time check. It's 10:07. So again, we want to try and end at 10:30. So want to just check with the group of we've identified, we've gone through three different types of basins with polygons with different types of kind of water situation, as well as a question around the data that's associated with it. Should we talk through and kind of think through hypothetically, regardless of like we can the state yields, we can, regardless of the calculation, thinking through if you use the Madeira's approach of having a safe yield with a transitional water component, the allocation plus the transitional water. If you used that approach, how does that play out for some of the polygons that we looked at? I was hearing some things folks had already raised, like for Los Molinos 6-1, with that one, I mean, it's folks around would have to significantly cut back on any planting. So want to just play this out, because that's one of the things that's going to be really, really helpful to capture with this group, is you all to discuss benefits, concerns, trade-offs, all of that, thinking through who's going to be affected and how.
I think we need to look at other approaches, not just Madeira.
100% back to Madeira. We're just using it as a potential example. Okay, what does this look like if you put
the zeros?
Yeah.
And the part that we're trying to get at is making sure we're capturing and documenting why we want. So you all have discussed and considered this approach. Why does it work, and why would it not work?
Without knowing what those numbers are, what you're going to be allowed to pump and what that transitional water would be by a sub-basin. So if you told me on that LM one that there was any restriction ever on pumping in that one, it doesn't work. But I don't have those numbers, so it's hard for me to tell you.
So you do, and how that works to get that number. Like, and you could just pick up any one, and you don't. We're not asking people to do every one. Just pick one and say, hey, how does this look here, and what are my concerns about it?
What would it be then? And so what were those numbers on that RB10? We had some discussion. It's not 4 hours.
Yeah. So you can get your acre feet per acre out of there.
3.5.
Right? That math is there.
That came back a little under three, right?
A little under three. And then you can get how much there is now, how much is actually being pumped per irrigated acre, because the pumping number is there, the total pump. If you compare those two, right, that would be the difference between sustainable yield and transitional.
Can we go look at that?
Does that make sense?
Yes. We can look at it fairly quickly.
Yeah, I think so.
On RB10.
Grab RB10. It's up. Right there.
Straight.
Right here.
Yeah. And I need to bring up safe yield again.
What is that? That's
no, hold on.
Yeah, just click back where you were before. You just clicked on a water group.
5,336 acres.
Yeah, just one.
Is that picking another subgroup?
That's
the
whole line. 3.6. There you go. Safe yield 17.9. Irrigated crop 53.36.
It's a little over three.
All right. And what did you say the water uses?
3.35.
We can get to pumping. Go up to 2020. Click out of the average safe yield. Sorry. And go up to pumping, which is right there, groundwater pumping. You should be able to get a number out of that if you click on it, not in those little basin boxes. But groundwater pumping 2020, 18,827. So we pumped 18,827. Sustainable yield is 17 and change.
So technically that one's in overdraft.
It was in
overdraft.
Pumping is
by just under 1,000 acre feet, it looks like. Just over 1,000 acre.
And so if you use the Madeira approach, 17,900 is the ultimate goal over time. And so the transitional water, if you pick your time span, 10 years, whichever, that would set where you would eventually get to. 17,900.
So 18,827 minus 17,900 is your transitional water.
Transitional way it's set up sometimes.
Right, and over, and according to what Madeira is doing, you have to phase out of that transitional, you have to phase out of that overdraft over 10.
So how do we deal with that concept where I'm struggling with that, is that you apply the Madeira plants, there shouldn't be transitional water in this RB10. It shouldn't even be on the table.
Transitional water?
That you're going to have to ratchet back on that.
Well, they're saying, I think, if I understand the Madeira thing, they're saying you're currently in overdraft. The goal is to get out of overdraft. In order to get out of overdraft, you have to reduce pumping to the sustainable yield.
I get it. I'm just saying it's not.
Shouldn't be interesting. It shouldn't have that vary by year because 2020.
I wonder why.
Westwood, I'm not.
I'm not following.
I was talking about the idea that in that particular polygon, right, half of it's planted.
Yeah.
And you've got to, I don't think that's an issue where the sustainability is a problem.
Conceptually, how would it possibly pump a unit of water out of that?
So that's what we talked about. That's probably one of the better polygons in the whole state of California. So you tell me every, doesn't pass the smell test, that every polygon in the whole state is overgrown.
So we continue to go back to the model.
Right.
You really need, I think what you're saying is that the 50% or more of that irrigated ground is in an area where the water, standing water level is quite high, and the available water is quite good. And yet,
much more than you could ever pump.
Much more than you could ever
pump. You're going to be in transitional water.
Yet it's in overdraft. So I think what they're assigning overdraft, they're assigning the reduction in groundwater to agriculture. Or maybe they're not. Maybe you're saying there's a reduction in groundwater. It's agriculture's responsibility, the pumpers, maybe not agriculture, but the pumpers' responsibility to fix it. And you're making a statement or argument that the reduction in groundwater there may just be assigned to dry water years in the period you're looking at.
Dam releases.
Dam releases. That's what is happening there.
Or influence of gradient. Well, you know, we'll pump it up there again. There's all sorts of variables. That's why I really like to see what his model is that's calculating.
But I think, I'll just play devil's advocate because I agree with what you said. That the presumption is it doesn't matter why there's a reduction in groundwater. We have a finite resource and you must manage it.
And reduction in pumping is the way that you reduce over falling groundwater levels.
Which I would say is a flawed argument.
Any water you don't pump there is going into the ocean. If that's the goal, okay. It's not affecting anything else, right?
Right. So it's a flawed argument to say that if you reduce, you could reduce groundwater pumping by 50% and still have a reduction in groundwater.
I do not disagree that that's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be likely.
If they manage the river at all the way through the summer at 3,800 CFS instead of 12 or 14,000 CFS, there will be a reduction in groundwater there, regardless of how much is pumped.
Right. And basically what they're saying is you're going to have to pump less if they choose to do that.
Yeah, and it's going to appear like falling water in RB10, which is bogus. Or it might be falling water, but not related to anything to do with extraction.
So what I'm hearing is that particularly along the river,
water,
like RB10, reduction in pumping is actually not going to do much. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's a pretty general statement.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, you could say one could make the argument that what you just said.
I try to leave the statement about the river out of that.
Yes.
We don't want to drag the river into it. Any polygon, just because we reduce pumping may or may not influence growth. More variables there than.
Oh, that was just, that's why I tried to shut down Mike on that conversation in that meeting about the
you know, the public trust and the river flows and public water. Look, everybody knows you pump some water out of the river. We got it. That's not really the discussion we want to have because it has other issues associated with it.
Yeah. I just keep going back to the model. When we looked at two polygons and both of them looked not accurate, I want to know why.
Yeah.
And in the model, it's pointing back to the model.
I can probably swing Eddie. I got to talk to him about how to make it happen, but I can probably swing Eddie for an hour if you want it for that specific scenario.
Sure.
We can have that discussion. You can ask those questions. But here's the jam, or you can ask them all to me via email, and I can get you paper answers. No problem.
Or you could give us a copy of the model and let us play with it.
Yeah, that's the raw data that I just he has. You guys can have
that's it. That's the output of the model. It's not the market itself.
We're so far into the
horses out of the barn. You really want to start? guys, I just want to tell you, I personally suggest that you use the data to inform you on your policy creation. And I think that you're hitting the nail on the head with. You want to have things that you can actually measure, be your model for your outcomes.
More big than what you think.
More big. Okay. Yeah. So you say, hey, look, we're going to put a policy in place. It appears as though we're an overdraft in these areas. We're going to put a policy in place that says we are going to reduce pumping by this many acre feet in that area. And here's that restriction. And then we're going to see that it works by looking at the groundwater. If it doesn't work, then here's the next step. If it doesn't work,
on it, if you look at I don't remember the GSA, but they're one of the it was down in the same general area as this. And, you know, what they did is looked at the groundwater levels, the bottom, you know, fall groundwater levels. And if over, I think it was 3 or 4 years, there's a trend that if you extend it, you're going to get below your MT, then you initiate a 5% cut or whatever and see what the result is. So you're basing it off something you're actually measuring. You know, the concern there is, well, if you get a bunch of dry years, a few dry years, that's going to happen. So how do you put some stability into it, allowing there to be dry years with a deficit and wet years with the surplus.
Didn't you sell numbers and put your range of checks at like 5 or 6 years?
I thought we put something into a trigger for
not applying to the transitional water.
And you don't go into that mode until you get to a certain.
You don't start saying that you can't do that. Anymore. That's what I have to do.
All right.
Well, and there the thing is, it's based on what you're measuring.
I'm counting about 2.5 conversations going on at the same time. No, I just want to. You went and you rounded up to 3. And so just want to confirm that we have about 10 minutes left. And so where are we at with this conversation? I added one bullet point based off of this was whether to verify if the cause of the falling groundwater levels or the storage reduction is actually due to pumping. So that's asking the question, whether or not would actually reducing pumping actually address our groundwater level problem.
And so when we're talking about these programs and plans and what exists, you guys got the matrix, right? You can click on those. Those are in the OneDrive, right? So you'll be able to click on those and look at different plans. And I would love to hear from you guys about ideas that you like or don't like for specific reasons within specific plans. So we can start talking about, hey, what measures could work in our plan? You know, what looks good, what doesn't look good,
but it doesn't have to. Yeah, just those are just starting points.
That's right. Just for discussion.
Yeah. So
because we're going to have to start narrowing down things we think we can do and things we think we can't.
Yeah, and there aren't a lot of plans that are actually implemented. And so I want to see what has actually been implemented.
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
That's all on the list. The ones that I identified are in that blue. Yeah.
Okay. Let's
ask one more question of Eddie and the modeling is how the surface water application is tied into sustainable yield, because that obviously came up in the loss minus one, where there is substantial. We know it's tied in there in the concept, but
I don't know how.
Yeah, it something's not quite kosher with that sustainable yield for that polygon. So if we can get some kind of an explanation on that, be good.
We'll have to look at the other examples, but I mean, there's a scenario where you could say if you do this on a polygon basis, that for that polygon 10, the recommendation is no reduction in pumping based on these set of factors.
Sure.
Right? I mean, even though the numbers say you should reduce pumping.
So you're saying polygon by polygon, you're going to have a certain number of those that no matter what the numbers say, basically.
We can argue the numbers and say, listen, in the other one, LM6, whatever it was, 500 acre feet, whatever the language we come up with, right? We just talk through some of the language, but it's likely they're going to come back and say, no, you're in overdraft. The numbers say you're in overdraft. You must reduce pumping. And then we say, okay, here's our argument of why, based off of conversation, we have to verify it with some sort of expert, right? If we're not experts.
Yeah, but you're assuming that when you submit this for approval, that yep. There's some dialogue back and forth. The way they operate is submit it. If we like it, fine.
Right, they'll take a red pen and do what they're going to do, right? But
you
I'm saying
you have to justify it.
Yeah,
what you're saying. You will have to bullet point justify why
right.
This was chosen.
So if we come up with, if we have this conversation with the scientist, the hydrologist, so whoever, the expert, and say, yeah, your numbers say that RB10 is in overdraft. But is it possible that the overdraft is due to XYZ? And they say, yeah. And I say, okay, will you write that up? Because we think that's also true.
And then you're talking about the marked up document coming back. You're assuming that comes back from DWR to be able to engage them. That's what I'm wondering, if that even happens. If the way it was with the planets.
No.
We're not giving you any pointers. You submit it. We're either going to say yes or no.
Yeah.
No dialogue.
You can by barking up the wrong tree here.
No, I like if we can do that. That's what it needs to happen. I was disappointed that none of that happened before on anything that we've done with them. They
right.
Sit in their tower.
I think it's likely that, yes, they will sit in their tower and take a red pen and mark it up and hand it back to you and say, start over. We're not going to give you
a forward at the State Water Resources Control Board.
By the way, they do build this plan. These guys are dummies. They do give you pointers. They just won't do it in that meeting. So I was in on a couple of the little side talks with them slightly, and they will be slightly more open there. But that's off the record.
But we're somewhere between being obstinate and saying your data is bad, we're ignoring it and buying all of the data as it stands and saying, giving them the most stringent plan that we know will pass, right? So
you're guessing what that
we don't know where we're going to fall between those two things, right?
And you're guessing on what's acceptable,
right? If we hand them a plan that says we think Tehama County, you know, all these 10 sub basins are not in overdraft regardless of your data, they're going to throw it out,
right? Well, because right. They'll look at what they can measure
water levels,
right?
water levels, you're going to see water levels fall until you're wrong,
yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying we've been talking about ways to articulate why the data is.
Well,
or at least not indicating to the problem that they think it.
And other GSPs, though, that have been approved have had those various like, caveat stipulations, like incorporating those, like we're going to reevaluate, we're going to readjust.
And
so,
data gaps, little data gaps.
Yes, exactly.
That's used in
every
one.
Data gaps, and by calling out where exactly, like how we were talking about, where do we have confidence in the data? This is good data. Where are we thinking the data is deficient? And this is where we should need to focus going forward. So I think incorporating all that hopefully gives a lot of that flexibility. That you all are looking for. I want to do a kind of a bit of a just an initial gut check of the approach for with Madera again, the allocations with this transitional water? Like, is that still generally on the table under whichever conditions that this group is going to decide? Like, which polygons might it make sense, add on all, like the evaluation, add on other management actions that would have to be pulled in, et cetera. Is allocations still part of the discussion? Just wanted to do a gut check on folks.
As far as the Madeira plan with transitional water or just allocations, because allocations, we have no choice. It's going to have to be a part of it. They're not going to be accepted if you don't have that. Doesn't mean you got to do that, but it's going to have to have a trigger that will trigger that under certain circumstances.
It's method of how you get to allocation.
Is transitional water still a possibility?
Is that
possibility?
That's why I'm making sure that
flexibility.
I think it adds to flexibility in the plan. So yeah, I would say if we are talking about restrictions.
Yeah. So let's not make that transitional water as an option off the table.
We have to kind of build in.
Okay.
And that would allow us some flexibility.
I would take that off the table.
And maybe if that, like RB 10 there, we don't go to allocations. We go through other methods that are going to maybe improve the water levels in that basin, because we, if we don't feel that the pumping is the true trigger for all of these things, then maybe we look at a bigger picture and try to address some of the other things, whether it's upgrading pumping that may actually be more of the issue or something like that. But then we get out to west side of Ranch Lima and there is no pumping out there, the groundwater level is done, then we have to define that somehow too and look at it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to have to do work in other areas to fix the problems there. There's no,
yeah.
You're not, it's not because of pumping. We don't know that.
No, it's not
because of
pumping.
It's a different animal.
And we can use that same logic on,
Could be down gradient pumping.
Not because of pumping within the polygon. Yes,
correct.
I agree.
We can't discount.
Not because of pumping within the polygon.
Polygons in the next. There's in
that's 100%.
Certainly, yeah, I think a good part of what's going on in Capay is that west of us, there's a lot of pumping now that never used to be.
Sure.
There's not a whole lot of build out that's kept going in Capay, pretty well developed. It's gonna,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's one of those conversations that's gonna be important with this discussion is that's that expansion bit. And that is a key component to how you end up with allocations and how those things function. Because it'll get harder and harder to manage with more and more expansion. That's just the reality. And you just got to play, and whether or not you do is up to you, but you need to play that in all of your decisions.
All right, so we are at time and want to. When's the next commission meeting? Are you actually going to be meeting?
Scheduled,
but it will be we'll meet at the 15th of January, and I should be able to get it.
So you're pushing, oh, sorry, no, the commission. Want to figure out when's the next commission meeting because. If there's anything that this group wants the commission to discuss and be aware of, I think one of them might be just giving them an update of what's going on with Corning, but we'll have to double check on what the upcoming meetings are. Do you know when?
I don't think we have anything to report.
We're diligent. We're going down the rabbit hole like.
Okay,
so
I want to
double check. I will get you answers, and I'm going to send them to you by email to these questions because that's going to be my goal to get them before we meet again.
Okay, there was one that wasn't captured, one or two that are related. Could we add it?
Yeah.
It was the, so we don't have to do all the legwork on it. The total, the sum of the safe fields of each polygon by sub-basin. So like Red Bluff sub-basin, the sum of all is X amount
total safe yield for all polygons.
For all the polygons for a sub basin, so we can compare that to the total calculated pumping to get the delta on the two to see if that delta is the same as what our overdraft is. It's a truth check, right?
So
if we're above sub basin 15,000 acre feet overdraft, then that minus that should be about 15,000. If not, it's another problem.
So, is this accurate? Truth check the safe yield, sustainable yield, estimated total pumping, comparing it to the total. Safe yields for all the polygons. Is that accurate?
I don't know what it means.
Okay.
We'll get that one. To check estimated total pumping compared to total SPM. Yeah. For all polygons on per basin.
Yeah.
Per basin.
He wants the sum total. Yeah. So,
yeah. The polygons
per basin. Sub basin. I'm sorry, sub basin.
Oh.
For sub basin. Sub
basin.
Not basin, but sub basin.
Okay, doke. And the spreadsheet that we mentioned earlier, just want to let you all know that here's your group's Google Drive, and put the summary by polygon spreadsheets in there. So just to let you know where you can access that immediately. And good times. Am I seeing a bunch of
enjoy?
Roll boy.
And for the next meeting, we're going to be continuing this kind of conversation. We're going to be looking at the continued conversation on the safe yields for polygon, thinking through demand management actions. We talked kind of like thinking through the allocation transitional water approach of Madeira. Is want to open up this group? Is there a particular do you want to continue with that conversation, or is there a particular type of demand management strategy that you want to for us to kind of hone in and focus in another hypothetical?
I'd like to see if we could get Eddie or someone in here to talk about the wall, maybe satisfy some of our doubts with respect to the law, I guess.
And part of that, if we need to get answers to these questions
yes.
before that, so we can review that and then maybe.
I don't, yeah, that's the jam is let's get you those answers first.
Okay.
Devin, to answer your question, we can probably individually look at, you have the resource, those plans and the resources.
It's
so we
there.
Can look at those, but spending time in this meeting saying whether those things are good or bad is not where we are yet, in my estimation, right? We
yeah.
have to truth out some of our stuff before we can start testing the theories.
But ultimately, we are, I know that this seems like, maybe it's an insane thing. We're talking about this and we have lots of questions, but we are not far from having to agree on the data that we are going to move forward using. Like, okay, so this is what we agree our sustainable yield process is going to be.
So can we focus the January meeting on trying to validate some of the data to make ourselves comfortable?
I will have the answers to your questions 100% before then.
And then we could do the February meeting on what you're suggesting is looking at. How do we start the first draft? Very, 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 very first draft concept of what our plan might be, how our plan might be.
You're still going to want to get, you're still going to have the question, want the modeling. So some way that's going to have to work in there. I'm guessing you're still going to want to go through that. And Ian, sounds like, as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if the numbers aren't making sense, we got to figure
there's stuff that's not making sense. And I want to know why. I've asked Betty, a couple meetings ago, not these meetings, well, specifically in this polygon, you've got this going on, this kind of year, and so on. And just tell me what mechanism could possibly do that.
We have any year in January? Or
possibly. I've got to find that. I mean, I can't guarantee that right now, but I've got to find that.
These are January meeting schedule for it.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Abnormal schedule? It's a question. Is it January 15th or January
22nd?
22nd would be the, yeah.
Right.
Wouldn't be the normal date that we would be on.
Oh, yeah. We moved up. I was wondering, like, why is it the third week? We moved December's up because people don't want to meet on Christmas.
Are we going
to
keep it here or?
I don't know yet because it's based on room availability.
This isn't a bad venue at all.
I actually like this venue. Yeah. I actually like this better than the Big Sun Game. It's easier to see, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll try to get this.
All right. So next meeting, January 22nd, really, really focusing on better understanding, validating the data, really delving into that. thing if LSCE can attend that, so we can really better understand the models and the estimates that come out of that. So that way we can start better understanding the safe yield, sustainable yield per polygon, and how in the world to get there.
Maybe I'll see if Eddie can send one of his modeling nerds down here to
have a real good time with you guys.
but maybe that actually might be better in a way.
We don't want to ground ourselves in the details.
They should be able to.
We have, but we're prepared with the right questions and we can.
So that would be a great homework assignment. Be prepared to ask.
Yep.
All right.
We'll do it right after Christmas.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful
day.